an even rectangular dais about 2 meters by 2 meters in area, and also brimming with soft upholstery. This place was less of an audience hall and more of a shrink's fantasy office. The chair that had been so politely reserved for me by my hosts stood on the dais. Okay, it was more than a mere chair. It was a fairly luxurious settee, but in any case, all the other participants were located somehow above me, and, what's more, were all semi-reclined. And it's worth noting that these participants also deserved some consideration. There were 10 of them, not counting Undigit and Do Not Panic, and they were all outfitted in sumptuous clothing that was embroidered with gold and embossed with jewels. Rings bespattered the fingers of my audience, chains hung from their necks, and bracelets clustered along their arms. Even their feet sparkled with adornments, and yet their faces remained concealed behind childish animal masks. A bunny, a fox, a bear cub, and so on. The circus had moved on, leaving behind the clown brigade to govern the city.
"You called an assembly of the Council of the Nameless," said the bear cub closest to me, and I instantly recognized the voice of the mayor's registrar. "We are prepared to grant you audience."
Wow, they're even prepared to grant me audience. A warm beginning, what can I say? All right, let's sally forth then. "I'm not sure I understand you, O registration clerk." They can go to hell with their secrets. Let's see how well the city adheres to its own laws. "I requested the council to assemble with a single purpose in mind. I wish to know on what grounds the council has ordered the city guard to arrest the Legends of Barleona. What law have we violated? What are we suspected of? Why wasn't I, the clan leader, duly notified? And another thing, I demanded the council to assemble, and yet I see here among those present 2 free citizens. Are they members of the city council? If not, I request that they be removed from this chamber."
"My vaunted Earl," said the mouse, "perhaps somewhere in Farstead, or in your beloved Beatwick, your words may be treated as the speech of an aristocrat, but this is no village, so please try and be mindful of what you say. Before demanding anything at all, it would behoove you to read the city charter, which clearly stipulates that city patrons are permitted to take part in sessions like this one. One is well advised to prepare oneself before arriving to a council session, dear Earl."
It took a single glance at the utterly placid faces of Undigit and Do Not Panic to realize that they were relishing what was happening. The leaders of the Azure Dragons were deriving true pleasure from the current situation, while the video icons over their heads let me know very clearly that everything that would happen here today would be published for the entire world to see. No matter. I, too, know how to record what is happening. "You did not answer all my questions, O Registrar," I went on plying my line.
"You are under suspicion of aiding and abetting the pirates,"
the fox answered instead of the Registrar. His harsh voice, leathery from drink and smoke, matched his children's mask quite well.
"We have evidence that after destroying several free citizens, Anastaria received the killer's mark and the lot of you fled seaward. It is supposed that you decided to wait out the mark in a pirate cove."
A sly move. What can I say? Not only did the Azures slip them the Beatwick story, but also passed on their own ambush of us, recast in the best light possible. 1-0 to the council, and the true conversation hadn't even begun. What a start.
Your information is uncorroborated.
As little as I wanted to do it, at the moment it looked like explaining myself would be the best course of action.
I propose we summon a herald and have him attest my...
Heralds have no authority here, Earl,
the bear cub cut me off.
We are well aware that they would do their utmost to protect a member of their empire. We will conduct our own investigation and determine the truth.
Hey, Dan, where are you?
To my immense relief, Anastaria's thought popped into my mind. Finally. What's up? The short of it is, as quickly as I could, while my energy held out, I began to explain the current situation.
Energy level 30. Stop, you angry shaman. Enough. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Stacy wrote in the chat, realizing why I had fallen silent so abruptly.
No, it looks like we're going to have trouble with Narlak. You shouldn't come here.
Earl, ignoring us to communicate with your subjects is not very proper of as noble an aristocrat as yourself.
The registrar bear cub yanked me back to proceedings at hand. Indicating me to one of his servants and nodding, he said, with condescension in his voice,
"I understand that you became Earl only quite recently, and therefore perhaps you don't yet know all the finer points of your new position. So I will be so bold as to offer you a humble tome of rules and obligations that members of the aristocracy are subject to. This way you will have something to read during your incarceration."
A servant appeared beside me, offering me an enormous book in his outstretched hands. 2,000 pages, no less. How entertaining this was all turning out. I'm being leveled to the ground without being offered a chance to object, and all of it without any insults, rights violations, or lack of accusations. Everything is by the book, noble, and to the point.
Due to this false convocation of the city council, the legends of Barleona should be fined, no?
The bear cub went on as soon as I slipped the book into my bag, reckoning that even this would come in handy.
I propose a vote.
I object, I cried out, understanding that a vote would not improve my position in the least. The grounds for calling the council session are legitimate and approved by the guardian himself. No one may accuse an aristocrat without furnishing some kind of proof. That's the first point. The second is that I give you my word that I shall not leave the boundaries of Altamita until the investigation is complete. I will be very easy to locate. Third, as owner of the castle, I demand that I be allowed to exercise my rights regarding who is and who is not allowed to be on my premises. As the owner of Altamita, I deny the Azure Dragon's access to my property.
Okay.
The bear cub reclined on his cushion and glanced, somewhat terrifyingly, over the other members.
Let us examine your demands in turn. Who told you that evidence is required to accuse a member of the aristocracy? The Barleona legal code, with all the relevant deviations for Malabar and Cautus, is readily available to you. Go ahead and find even a single mention of the law you cite, and the council will immediately issue a formal apology. You see, Earl, in drawing up your decree, we made sure to peruse the relevant laws as carefully as we could. I repeat, the legal code is readily available to you. Second, concerning your word, forgive us, but who are you? Even a few months ago, absolutely no one knew a single thing about you, and now you wish us to rely on your word? Forgive us, but as I remember it, the Emperor himself placed a bounty on your head. 40,000 free citizens were sent to the Dark Forest to stop you. And you are trying to assure us that you won't flee the castle's premises? I am afraid that if we release you, then we won't ever see you again. This simply is not in our interests. Third, yes, for the next 3 months, you shall be the rightful and legal owner of the castle. No one is contesting this. Indeed, you are wholly in your right to determine who is in or near your castle. However, there is one problem. Your Altamida, or Urusai, has no standing to us, since it is located on the site of Glarnas, which itself falls under the jurisdiction of the Narlak Council. And it is we who determine who may or may not be on those premises. And we, to answer your question, hereby proclaim that the Azure Dragons are wholly permitted to approach Glarnas. If you wish to forbid them from approaching your walls, go right ahead. But don't even dare set foot on our meadow.
What a lovely and legally accurate twist. If I dispute this issue further, they'll read me a lecture about whose castle was here first, and then I'll lose hands down. Why, they could even go so far as to claim the damages that Altamida caused by falling on their castle. I wouldn't put it past them. In that case, I hereby give notice to the council that my soldiers will appear beside my castle tomorrow. I didn't bother to mention the minor detail that the majority of these soldiers would come from Cartas. Let them assume that I mean my raiding party.
Near Altamida, be our guest. That's your castle. But no one shall approach Glarnas,
the Bear Mask said in a sing-song voice, suggesting he was reveling in his triumph.
And now that we have ascertained that the reason for convening the council was insufficient, I again propose we commence a vote on a penalty for this sentient.
Oh, no, I smirked. Even if a vote is held, you won't be taking part in it. I proclaim that this nameless councilman is none other than the mayor's registrar, and I am prepared to attest my words by summoning the guardian. I demand that he be removed from his position as city councilman and—
Sorry, but what exactly are you getting at here anyway?
The fox mask interrupted me quietly.
Okay, so you know who one of us is. And what?
According to the city laws, I began, but the fox didn't back down.
So you are prepared to summon the Guardian to confirm your grave accusation, while referencing the laws of Narlak?
Beep, beep, beep. A red lamp began to blink in my head, casting a nasty noise over its surroundings, either a siren or an alarm. In any case, it became clear that this was a trap. I was being led like a lamb to the slaughter, with the full understanding that I wouldn't resist. "Is the Guardian's summons really necessary to confirm my words?" I asked in turn, trying to figure out what was happening. My premonition was screaming that I had put my foot in it, all the way up to my hip.
"No, unfortunately," replied the fox,
and even through the mask I could sense his disappointment.
"The word of the council suffices, and that word says that there is no such law in Narlak."
"I beg your pardon, Mr. Mayor," said Undigget, suddenly rising from his seat and approaching the councilman in the bunny mask. "I must admit that I did not believe that Mayen would be so naive as to take your bait. Here are your winnings." The clan leader offered the bunny a wallet of money, and the hall filled with the coarse laughter of a dozen people. The bear, standing before me, took off his mask, and I beheld the prominent whiskers of the registrar.
"It's too bad. It would have been quite a sight to see the Guardian punish this smart aleck," he hissed. "Thank you for coming up with a fairy tale about the Nameless Council. I must admit, I refuse to believe that Mayen wouldn't read the city charter. It's all in there, after all."
Turning, I met the eyes of the mayor, the same military posture, but now the NPC's eyes bore not even a drop of kindness, only haughtiness multiplied by vanity. And in the midst of this freak show, the two smiling faces of the Azure Dragons. Harsh. What a bind to end up in.
"Mayen, as head of the city, I place you under guard for 7 days. You shall be committed to a cell that, just as this room, blocks the use of teleports. The legends of Barleona clan is proclaimed unwelcome in Narlak and all territories subject to it. The sentence comes into force immediately."
"I object. The Guardian granted me the right to call the council to session."
"You may take this issue up with the Guardian on your own as soon as you serve the time of your detention. Guards, take the prisoner to his cell."
-1,000 reputation with Narlak. Current level, mistrust. Points to suspicion, 3,000. You have been declared guilty and placed under guard for 7 days. This is a game process and does not block your control over your avatar. This confinement does not constitute a violation for provisionally free citizens.
God damn!
Forgive my crass language, but God damn it all squared! They're about to place me under guard? Not on my watch. Stacy, yank me over to you. Shoot me your coordinates. I'll cast a portal. A portal won't work for another week. Yank me over with your yin-yang ability. You've talked your way into some trouble again? Oh, why couldn't you just relax somewhere for a few hours? Okay, I'm doing it now. Your other half wishes to summon you to her location. Do you accept?
My other half? So, we're that official then, huh?
Half and half.
Except.
Sloth! But where? How?
I managed to hear the registrar exclaim as a new notification appeared before my eyes. clan achievement gained. Bad guys. Your clan's reputation with either a province or an independent city has reached hatred status. All enemies of this province or city are henceforth your friends. Quest available. Pirate Fraternity. Step 1. Getting acquainted. Description. Having become an enemy of Narlak, you have acquired a powerful friend. The doom of the seas, the terror and nightmare of merchants. The pirate Griggs, the bloody hoof. He has been notified of your achievement and will receive any member of your clan as his guest. Quest type, unique clan sequence. Reward and penalty, variable. Restrictions. Only the leader of the clan may accept the quest. Only one clan per empire may pursue the quest at a time.
"Man in Anastoria, you are under arrest!"
yelled the nearby guards, and rushed towards us as soon as I appeared beside Altamita. Here it is, then, the fruits of having a hatred reputation. As soon as the guards of some location see a player that is hated by that location, they immediately drop everything they're doing and do their utmost to send the outlaw to jail for an hour. After that, the player is escorted out of the territory in question, and, if he shows up again, the whole thing repeats, only with 2 hours confinement. After that, the detention grows exponentially. But I didn't want to spend even an hour in prison. I had had quite enough of that.
"Stacy, we need to get out of here. Cut them all down. You can ignore our reputation," I yelled, transforming into a dragon and pushing the accept button.
I may not be able to hurt anyone, but saving my tail is still a cinch. Grabbing Anastaria in my paws, I soared high into the sky, hoping that Undigget hadn't yet managed to set his people after us.
"Gira, forgive me. I don't know how my reputation affects my mercenaries, but I don't have the time to think about you right now."
"Dan, let me down. I can walk on my own 2 feet," said Anastaria after 10 minutes' flight.
"Tell me, my dear, what do we owe our hatred with Narlak to, as well as our new quest with the pirates?"
"I'll send you the video," I smirked, flapping my wings several more times and gliding to the ground. As soon as we landed, I added, "I recorded what happened on the hunch that you'd enjoy watching it."
"Whoa! Where'd they get such buildings from?" Stacy couldn't keep from exclaiming as she began to watch the video. "Undigget and Do Not Panic? Where'd they... Dan, who talks that way? No way. Did you really believe that fairy tale about the Council of the Nameless? Okay, hang on a minute."
Anastaria's eyes glassed over, in a sign that she had logged out to reality. I guess she'd gone to check out the Azure Dragon's forums.
"I warned Plinto. He'll go invisible as soon as he jumps back in. It's strange, but there's not one mention of you bungling that meeting, either on the Azure site or on their forums."
"Why bungle?"
"Why, because. If you had even once bothered to open the city charter, you'd be pleasantly surprised to discover that any sentient, be he NPC or player, may call the council to convene. All he has to do is go to the mayor and say, 'Good morning,' and there'd be absolutely no penalty for it. But since you agreed to their demands, why, they were only bluffing you. Where's an answer to your natural question of, 'Why are you arresting me?' Watch your own video carefully. There's not a single mention in there of why they're putting you away for 7 days, and you up and ran off. They didn't even have the authority to remove you from that hall. The guardian would have intervened. How many times do I have to use the word 'would' with you? But now
You've broken the law. You ran off from a council you yourself convened, and didn't even leave the game in doing so. The charter does have several items about that. Damn! Narlak was the only point of access with Astrum that didn't cost crazy amounts of money to use.
Maybe I can just return and...
We are outlaws. Only the Guardian can change our reputation with the city. You don't happen to know who the Guardian of Narlak is and where we could find him? No? Okay. We'll have to take this screw-up as fact. Let's see where the pirates came from. At the moment, there's neither. Wait. Why are Undigget and Do Not Punic sitting in on the session?
They're like patrons or something.
What patrons? Hang on a sec. I'll be back.
Stacy froze again, leaving me alone.
Mayan, hello!
As soon as Stacy left, my amulet began to vibrate.
This is Gera. As I understood it, you won't be showing up in Altamida anymore. They didn't arrest us, but they won't let us through to the castle as long as we remain your mercenaries. Can I assume that our agreement is void?
Wait. Give me a couple days. I'll come back to Altamida, and we'll destroy the monster.
Simply give me a couple days. Okay.
Gera agreed a little too quickly.
We won't do anything for 2 days. We'll even move away from the castle to give the guards and the free citizens some peace of mind. However, if you do not return, our agreement will be terminated. As soon as you need me, call me on your amulet. I'll send you the number now. As soon as you call, we'll show up. And remember, 2 days. Good luck to you. Dan.
It was as if Anastaria had waited for me to finish my conversation before returning.
Players cannot be city patrons. The rules forbid it. The charter does mention that patrons can come to council sessions, but it's also spelled out in bold type that players cannot be patrons. Do you understand?
Not anymore, I said, sitting down on the ground. I don't understand anything anymore.
All right. Let's set our emotions aside and look at the facts. First, Altamida fell onto Glarnis. We need to ask the Dark Lord and the Emperor whether it had ever fallen onto other cities or castles before now. Second, the Azure Dragons have somehow earned exalted status with the city, and thereby acquired full rights to explore Altamida. Third, Undigget and Do Not Punic sat in on the city session, filmed it, and yet their video is nowhere to be found. Then again, only several minutes have passed, so we should check again tomorrow morning. Fourth, the pirates. As I recall, players have only ever fought them before. No one has ever received a quest with them, especially with that strange restriction of only a single clan per empire. Fifth, we're not allowed near Altamida, so we should probably just forget about it. Of course, we'll try to break through, but it's best to admit to ourselves that our castle will be located near Sintana. I checked out the photos of it. It's a level one. An utter ruin, without even any walls. We'll have to sink a good amount of gold into it. Sixth, Altamida is connected to some kind of event that the Azures know about, and we have no way of exerting any pressure on them. Have I missed anything?
Seventh, I know how to solve the ogre puzzle.
I do, too. It wasn't very complicated. There are 2 solutions, and we, note how I just said we, will need to go check out both locations.
2?
Don't get distracted. Let's think of a way that we could get into that castle.
Why both? We have Gera and her mercenaries who are free to go in as they please.
one more time?
Gira's mercenaries are allowed to go in. The restriction only applies to players.
Who is Gira?
Stacy looked at me questioningly, but then her face smoothed over as if she had just recalled who I was talking about.
You managed to hire her?
And her squad. Oh, I forgot. You're listed as an ordinary clan member, so you don't get all the notifications. Here, I'm sending you the description now. I sent over the contract Gira and I had signed, forcing Stacy to take a moment to think.
Seventh, a squad of level 300 NPCs, which would normally cost us at least 100 grand per week per person, have joined the clan for free to help storm the castle.
How much? I asked, stunned by the fantastical sum.
Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. When I was in Phoenix, we'd frequently hire mercenaries to protect dungeons. Eighth, the Crasteel of Shalar. I forgot about it. The devs didn't simply throw a thing like this into the game. I suspect that it has something to do with the castle. Ninth, the cards. No, here I'm not sure. The cards don't seem to relate. After all, you got Slate's quest a lot earlier than the castle. By the way, give them to me so I can study them. Maybe I really should play a game of solitaire, or play a game with whoever made them. Then, ninth, the issue of jurisdiction. Altamita destroyed Glarnas, and now should theoretically occupy its territory, without Narlak having any right to it. But the council members were explicit that they had fully investigated this issue. We need to take a closer look, too. Tenth, the powerlessness of the heralds and the emperor. As far as the latter is concerned, he doesn't seem too disposed to taking any action at the moment, as long as that dagger is in his throne. But the heralds, I don't understand what's happening and can't wrap my mind around this puzzle. All that emerges is some kind of nonsense.
Nonsense? I still didn't understand anything.
Okay, decision time. Enough wasting time. I've gotten so used to not doing anything in your clan that I've started miscalculating and allowing myself to make mistakes. Enough.
In that case, here's another factoid for you. I had put off telling Stacy about my agreement with Evelith for too long as it was, and if this bit of information would influence her planning, why, she'd eat me whole, along with all my belongings, if I didn't tell her.
He agreed to give us his warriors?
Stacy echoed in disbelief. I'm not sure anymore. Our deal was contingent on Narlak's permission, and now, when that permission is definitely off the table...
By the way, you didn't receive our agreement yet? After calling Leidy and Barcina, call my uncle. You're right. Forget the reputation. We'll kick the Azures out of Altamita by force.
Speaking, sounded the amulet.
I'm curious. Is Evelith always in-game, or merely from 9 to 5, like it's his job? Evelith, this is Mayan and Anastaria. I am calling about our agreement.
Hi, Uncle. We really need your warriors. Narlak won't be granting permission. We're in hatred status with them. I'll deal with Dad. He won't help the Azures, but Itamzalat and his people will probably join up against us. We'll pick up some extra mercenary players, but your people could really come in handy. Will you do it?
Did you read the contract?
Not yet, because I haven't received it, but we definitely won't meet the part about obtaining permission.
Stacy, losing reputation with a neutral city is a big deal. If I were going alone as an ordinary merc, it'd be one thing. but acting as a clan. Surely you understand?
I understand. Just listen to this.
Stacy read aloud the description for the pirate quest.
Now, think about it. We're already representing Malabar. Who's going to do the same on the Cartassian side?
The amulet went quiet for practically a minute. I even began to worry that our connection had dropped, yet the shimmering blue cloud around the amulet let me know that everything was okay, and our conversation partner was simply staying silent.
"I need a day," came the reply at last, "as well as 3 mages who can cast a teleport to Malabar. We'll fly to the Cartassian border, but you'll need to pull us over to your location. 3,000 level 200 plus and mercenaries. I don't know how many, but I'll try to get as many as possible. Let's make one thing clear right away. The mercenaries get to keep all the loot from the phantoms they kill. Otherwise, no one will agree to this."
"That works," I instantly replied, "with the exception of items that provide clan quests. I get to keep those."
"Agreed. Mercenaries don't need those anyway. Stacy, are you sure that you want to start a clan war?"
"Yes. The hubbub around Altamita at the moment is very reminiscent of Beatwick and the Dark Forest. Do you remember how all that turned out?"
"One day. Tomorrow, at 6 p.m. server time, I'll be waiting for your portal at the following coordinates."
Evelyn read out the coordinates and went off to go assemble his people.
"Barsa, Leidy!"
Not wasting a second, Anastaria took out 2 amulets, making 2 calls simultaneously.
"Put an announcement up that we're hiring. Here's the description."
Stacy dictated the text describing Altamita and the hiring terms.
"The assembly point is the central square in Anhurs, tomorrow at 5:40 p.m. Make sure to include the following in the contract."
"You think anyone's willing to agree to work an entire month without pay?" Barsina asked in surprise.
"I am. With this kind of grinding opportunity on the line, not to mention the legends of Barleona and Mayen, we'll find plenty of willing people. Publish the announcements across all channels. We don't care if the Azures see it. There's no time for secrecy at the moment. Signing off."
Replacing the amulets in her bag, Stacy shut her eyes for a moment, as if considering whether she had overlooked anything. Then she said, out of the blue,
"What solution did you come up with to the ogre riddle?"
"The riddle?" I didn't comprehend right away.
"Stay with me, Dan. The riddle of the ogres from the chess set. You said that you solved it. Tell me your version, and we'll compare it to mine."
"The verses denote coordinates for a location we need to go to. I can see 3 options. Verse number given their proper place in the poem, and stanza number."
"What about stanza number given the proper order of verses, and verse number multiplied by the stanza number? There really is a myriad of options, but only 2 results yield coordinates that pertain to Malabar, verse numbers and stanza numbers. Everything else lands us either in the ocean, in Cartus, or in the free lands. Which of the 2 options shall we choose?"
"I'm in favor of the second one. Verse number is too obvious."
"I agree. Leidy."
Stacy grabbed her amulet again.
"I'm already on it. I've almost made the payment."
"Good job. But at the moment, I need something else. Get me a teleport scroll to 11352334 by 1255218.
Okay, I'll get on that.
The warrior sighed bitterly and added,
You know, I'm beginning to second-guess my decision. All I'm doing is running around Anhur's back and forth. The way I see it, the director of finances shouldn't be doing so much running.
Well, as soon as you actually reach that post, we'll hire you some assistants, I said, and heard a quiet,
Damn, he's there too?
In response. Of course. What did he think? That he was in some fairy tale? It was time to work.
Don't forget about the cards, Dan, said Stacy, switching off the amulet.
Sitting down on the ground, she sighed.
I think that's it. Now we just have to wait for the day to end.
Here. I offered her the cards, sitting down beside her. I haven't seen you so busy in a while. Even during a raid, you're much more tranquil.
During a raid, everything depends on me, but here there's so much to figure out. Can you imagine what will happen if it turns out that we weren't supposed to liberate Altamita? The probability that the devs put that very Urusei in there as the monster is incredibly high. A Naga demon is no small matter. It's a terrifying and powerful foe. It's no accident that Iluna's circle surrounds the castle. The goddess wouldn't do it without good reason.
Grr!
I hate it when I don't understand something. I feel like catching and killing someone just because.
I know of another way to let off steam, I grinned, embracing the girl. But Stacy instantly slapped my arm aside.
Dan, the fate of the clan hangs in the balance. We're facing an immense enemy, and you're thinking about one thing.
Okay, I said. Maybe I'm missing something. But is there anything else you can do at the moment?
Not anymore. What's done is done.
In that case, why worry?
We can worry tomorrow,
precisely at 6 o'clock.
Maybe you're right.
Stacy smiled and turned to face me.
So, what is this special method of yours?
I drew Stacy to myself and decided that Barleona could go to hell. But for the next 2 hours, there'd be nothing but ourselves.
Did we make a mistake? I muttered, standing knee-deep in swamp muck.
2 hours of joy managed to last only 40 minutes, at which point we received a letter from Leidy containing the teleport scroll. So we got dressed again and headed forth in search of adventure. Not knowing our current location, Leidy didn't worry too much and bought a scroll with an effective radius of the whole of Malabar. 40,000 gold for one measly hunch. It was a bit much.
It's looking like it,
Stacy replied, slowly sinking in the bog as I was.
So, what? Shall we check out the second set of coordinates, or scout around this place some more? It's only a level 70 location, so you won't die too quickly. If you start drowning, I'll just have to pull you out.
Let's look around a bit, I agreed, noting a tiny loss of hit points and the interface telling me that I had been attacked by a tick. Summoning the spirit of Water Strike to shoo away the bloodsucker, I added, This reminds me of the place where I got Lyra's wedding dress.
I keep forgetting to ask you, why did you give it to Reptilus? He's a nice enough guy, of course, but I still don't see your rationale there.
You think I had a choice? He was trying to prove to you that he was a good player who was worthy of you. The dress he gave you is a good piece of evidence for that.
He never gave me a dress. Why would you think that?
For a second, my mind glitched, and I sank into the swamp up to my waist. How had he not given it to her? I even had a letter from him, in which he stated that he's immensely happy and grateful to me. All right. It doesn't matter. Tell me, how did he find out that you're a siren? As I understand it, that information is not readily available, and is at times even classified as secret, so it's quite surprising that an ordinary player would know such particular details about mysterious and lovely you.
He's an assassin, and a very good one. By the time he was level 20, this little prodigy had managed to infiltrate our castle, getting past all our guard posts. That's how he spied on me, training. When he realized that we were onto him, he fled. I even used mind control spells against him, but they didn't work. A property of his race. You should have seen it. A bunch of drooling Phoenix players, and a green wonder darting around and among them, managing to pilfer their pockets along the way. To make a long story short, when we caught him, I made sure to have a serious chat with him and asked him to keep my personal details to himself. I can send you the video of his caper. I still have it somewhere. He really is a very nice guy. He reminds me of you, somehow. He's just as unruly, has his own clan, refused to join Phoenix, and, my friends tell me, has already reached level 152 without resorting to any grinding. If you recall, when I hired him to be your bodyguard, he was still at level 147. I'd really like to know how he managed to level up so fast. By the way, Itamzalat and his boys are after him at the moment. Reptilis cleaned out their vault, snagging some very interesting toys along the way.
The clan vault?
Uh-huh. I'm telling you, he's a curious fellow with a penchant for thinking outside the box. Understanding that he wouldn't manage the venture on his own, he set an enormous flock of rook birds onto their castle. He did this by obtaining some of their eggs and hiding them around the castle. Then he smashed one. I can tell you right away that 40 level 300 birdies in the throes of bloodlust can really do some damage to a level 9 castle. The fowls leveled the walls, demolished almost all the buildings, and destroyed all the communications. In short, it took them a single attack to reduce the castle back to level 4.
And what? So they busted the walls and made some noise? What's the vault got to do with it?
What and what? Wishing to ensure his safety, Itamzalat outfitted his castle with the best of upgrades, the most powerful magical defenses, traps, and portal passages keyed to individual players. This was a virtual Fort Knox, which was practically unassailable. Since flying over the castle was prohibited, no one expected an attack from that angle, and it turned out that the security systems have a very unpleasant quirk. They require the castle to be at least at level 5. As soon as the birds destroyed the walls and buildings and the castle fell down to level 4, all of this expensive protection became useless, and Reptilis used his stealth to slip into the vault like he owned the place. He used a teleport to get back out, but they identified him right before he jumped. Now they're looking for this green crocodile, offering vast sums of money for any information about his whereabouts. If Itamzalat knew that Reptilis was watching you while you were crafting, he would have taken your workshop apart brick by brick.
What's the point in looking for him? He'll simply respawn. It's not like they can recover their items.
Or can they? They can't, since Reptilis obtained them without breaking any game rules. As for the point Well, it's pretty simple. It's just salve for their ego. After all, a single nobody put one over the entire clan. Straight to the blacklist with him and wipe him out at the first opportunity. Make him respawn again and again until he begs for mercy, or until the heralds intervene. All because he popped out into reality and sold everything he stole at an auction. That's exactly what he did, Stacy said with a grin. He put the entire hall up for auction under his own name and with a note that read, "Exclusively from the heirs of the Titans." Supposedly, Itam's lad bellowed so loud and so long that he almost lost his mind, and that was when this idiotic idea of revenge occurred to him. It's hard to bear a blow like that one. But okay, we're not going to talk about Reptilis forever, are we? There's nothing for us in this swamp, so I suggest we go check the other location. Hold on. Let's go stand in the spot the coordinates point to once again. And, said Stacy, when we had returned to the pointing question, do you notice anything strange? Should I be? Check the map. Indeed. I only just noticed when you were telling me about Reptilis. If I recall the arrangement of the coordinate grid properly, when we teleport somewhere, we appear in a 3D cube, one of the tiles in the grid. If a teleport is not possible, that is, if the tile is occupied, then the system should warn us beforehand. But in this case, for whatever reason, the portal took us not to the tile we wanted, but to the one adjacent to it. Why didn't we go straight when we were looking around? Because we saw a bog straight ahead of us, and no player in his right mind would wade into it. That's just reflex. Mayan, you're a genius. Can you swim and dive?
Not very well, I confessed. My diver skill lasts only 18 minutes.
Then I'll go, said Stacy, and transformed into her siren form. If anything happens, pull me back out. I can see a labyrinth, Anastaria said telepathically after diving into the dark and scary bog water. Don't say anything. Save your energy. According to the description, there are several levels here. Level 60 mobs. I'm just going to pass them by. Boss. Well, there was a boss. Okay, second level. Level 120 mobs. Uh-oh, they saw me. Boss. No, wait, two bosses. Third level. Last one. There's only one boss here. Dan, I'm going to need you to come down here. I won't manage him on my own. This boss has mind control. I can't solo him. Shall I pull you over? There's air down here.
Go ahead. What else can we do? I'll have to help out.
Uh-huh. As you like to say, as if. The ability cooldown is one day long, and I pulled you out of Narlak earlier. I'm coming back up and killing everything along the way. We'll have to dive back down together.
An hour later, the brackish bog water began to bubble, and a terrifying monster appeared beneath Barleona's setting sun. The siren, all decked out in slime, dirt, leeches, and some other gunk, and clutching her trident in her hand. Had I not known that this was merely my wife's other form, I would have fled in terror over the hills and far away.
The way is clear. I found two air pockets. You'll be able to catch your breath,
said the beast, and dove back beneath the surface. Banishing another tick with my spirit, I sadly thought about how I would never wade into this morass on my own. Why, I haven't the strength to dive into this dark sludge, much less fight monsters along the way.
Are you coming or not?
Stacy nudged me mentally, so I shut my eyes and took a step forward. Welcome to the unknown. A counter immediately appeared before me, counting down the time I had in my air supply. 17:55. That's not very much, yet it only took Stacy about half an hour to clear all the mobs.
Follow the light.
Her thought flashed in my mind, and I saw a pale light several meters ahead of me. All right. Follow the light means follow the light. This doesn't seem like a dark tunnel.
The first air pocket is here. Catch your breath,
Stacy told me, tearing me away from the very important activity of picking up loot. Why would a level 343 player bother to pick up the junk that level 100 mobs had dropped? Never, or rather, never if it were up to her, since each slug and unspecified bog monster only dropped about 2 to 3 gold pieces. On the other hand, they also dropped a wealth of lovely ingredients. For alchemists, for necromancers, for practically every profession. Why buy it all when you could grab it here? Furthermore, one of the humanoid bog dwellers had dropped a rather interesting and mysterious item that resembled a claw. What if it's like the Eye of the Dark Widow? I'd guess that there had never been any other players here before us, so this was loot that no one had ever seen before.
There he is,
whispered the siren, when we emerged in an enormous cavern filled with air. Right ahead of us stood an unusual boss. He wasn't too big, about a meter tall, with a large, green, slime-covered head that accounted for about half of his height and 3 small, thick legs that made him resemble a tripod with 4 arms. The barrel-shaped body, covered in a net, or perhaps a special armor, was constantly heaving, reminding me of the chest of a runner trying to catch his breath after sprinting 100 meters as fast as he could.
Big Eye. Level 1. Hit points 1. Abilities Mind Control. Diamond 10.
Fill me in here, Stacy. He's already down to 1 hit point.
Diamond 10 means he will block 10 attacks. Even if I throw a flurry of blows, I won't have time to do 1 damage before he casts Mind Control. Then he'll plunge me into the water and hold me there until I drown.
I thought a player couldn't be controlled for longer than a minute.
Oh, yes, he can. If the mind control is done by a boss like this one, or a mob, and not another player. Here's the plan. You're going to step out and get mind controlled. I'll step out and kill the boss. Then we gather the loot. Questions? Comments? No? Okay, let's go. We don't have time to crawl around swamps.
Stacy.
I had almost stepped out into the open when the feeling that something was amiss stopped me in my tracks.
Hello, premonition. Where have you been?
What?
Something tells me that attacking head-on is a bad idea. I can't put it in words, only
we're not doing the right thing. We shouldn't kill him. Dan, if it's his single hit point that's bothering you, forget it. I've seen plenty of bosses like this in my gaming career. I'm more worried about how many players he can mind control. 1, 2, 12, 100? The fewer hit points they have, the harder it is to kill these creatures. The developers are really fond of this trick. On an unrelated note, I didn't want to upset you by telling you earlier, but my dad called. He's made a deal with Undigget. We're going to be facing a coalition of both Phoenix and the Azures tomorrow. Dad refuses to say what they tempted him with, but it must be something pretty crazy for him to oppose us like this. And it's not even a matter of leveling up. There are only about 2,000 to 3,000 phantoms, and they respawn only once a day, so there simply isn't enough of them to go around for both clans. There's something else at play here. Something big enough that Dad is willing to sacrifice his relationship with our clan as well as with you and I. Everyone knows the time of the attack. Barca and Leidy are recruiting mercenaries. At any rate, my uncle has also refused and inquired whether he should order our headstones for us. We don't stand a chance against the two top clans.
So it's like that. Okay, we shall see, I said, reaching for my amulet. Phoenix sure had a nerve to get involved like this.
Speaking,
Stacy's dad answered my call. Greetings, Eckler. This is Mayan troubling you. Stacy just regaled me with a very curious tale about how Phoenix has allied itself with the Azure Dragons and decided to oppose my clan tomorrow. Could you explain why, please?
And please, no fairy tales about the grinding opportunity, Dad,
Anastaria interjected.
You'd never be tempted by that.
Since we're speaking so informally, then, Daniel, allow me to offer you my sincerest condolences. However, clan interests dictate that we bar your people from capturing Altamira before the clan competitions. The Azures have granted us 500 phantoms per day to accelerate our leveling. But you are correct to assume that this is not the main reason for our alliance. I am very sorry, but if you show up in the environs of Altamira tomorrow, you shall be destroyed or sent to jail, as luck determines. It's business, nothing personal. Stacy, there's no sense in calling the heralds. We are defending the territory of Glarnas, per the request of the Narlak Council. You can look up Article 746, Item 4, in the Laws of Barleona. That statute details an analogous example. Urasai is not real estate, but personal property with a certain aura, and therefore enjoys no prerogatives over the original castle. Urasai will fly away, while Glarnas will remain, even if it's only its ruins.
You seem to forget that, pursuant to Item 5 of Article...
Stacy and her father locked legal horns, the amulet between them filling with citations to various paragraphs and statutes, and I quickly lost the thread of their conversation. The one thing that was clear was that Phoenix was now against us, and it would be useless to summon the heralds and complain that I was being stripped of my property rights. All they'd do is spread their arms in helplessness.
I realize that you'd prefer not to lose a castle like this, but that place near Sintana isn't so bad, said Eckler, hinting that the conversation was reaching its end. Let me reiterate. Stay away from Altamira, or Urasai, whether it's tomorrow or the day after, or indeed for the next 3 months. By the way, which is the correct name?
Altamira, I grumbled.
Well then, stay away from Altamira. We won't allow you to approach it. This very day, 7,000 of my warriors will take up positions around the castle. Another 10 will arrive tomorrow. 500 level 300 phantoms, granting experience only to whomever does more than 50% damage to them, is too useful an opportunity to be overlooked. Stacy, Dan, find yourself
another quest. Over and out.
At least now we understand why Plinto was the only one who gained XP from killing the phantoms, Stacy said distractedly.
While the XP that Gera's people earn will go only to the clan or to the castle, but not to individual players, I added, staring mindlessly at the boss before us. What the hell was going on in Barleona anyway?
Stacy, stay here, I said, stepping out of our hiding spot and heading toward Big Eye.
The time had come to put an end to this caper.
You have been mind-controlled. This is a game mechanic. I'm coming.
No, stay where you are. This is my boss and no one else's. My avatar had been mind-controlled in less than a second. Perhaps only Plinto could take on a boss like this, and only then, thanks to his amulet. Whatever. Have I come here looking for nothing, or what? Focusing on the boss, I sent him a thought as I would to Stacy.
Greetings! I am the creator of the Carmandant chess set. A riddle from the pieces has brought me here. Can you help me solve it?
Dan, I'm going to attack.
Anastaria again butted in, once I'd been dipped headfirst into the bog's dark waters.
Don't you dare!
I managed to yell telepathically as Anastaria rushed at the boss.
Oops.
The girl's next thought pleased me as her mind-controlled avatar began to move my way. The boss was sending her to be my company as I drowned.
That's quite an oops indeed, I told her, and concentrated again on the boss, trying my utmost to ignore the timer counting down the time I had left before drowning. 18 minutes and 40 seconds.
Help us. We need to solve the riddle of the ogres. Rorg and Gragza wouldn't want us killed.
The key.
Despite his short stature and unimposing constitution, Big Eye's voice could have been mistaken for the Guardian's. It was just as hefty, oppressive, and demanding of respect and deference. So basically like that of any boss in any dungeon.
Stacy, what could be the key? Anything. From some crystal to a bedtime fairy tale and everything in between. How much time do you have left?
16 minutes.
Then hang on while I pop out and look up if there's any solution. I have 25 minutes.
What could be the key for a boss whom we'd never even heard of before? Only something related to the chess set. Otherwise, the riddle couldn't be solved at first try. Was there something about the ogres that could help?
Even as the sun with purple-colored face.
Shakespeare. William Shakespeare. Back in school, we would translate the original text of Venus and Adonis to modern English. Shakespeare's English is no joke. Every word of his has several meanings, and at times we would have to hold a meeting to decide which meaning the author had in mind. Given the situation, I would probably need to read the verses I found in the chess pieces in the order I found them in, but I felt like wagging my tongue a little. My energy faded to zero by the fourth stanza, but my mental monologue went on. Or I figured that I'd go on sending some kind of mental signal to the boss, reciting Venus and Adonis from memory. I could remember all of it, up to and including the young hunter's lament at believing he had killed the goddess. The rest had been translated by my colleagues. But I knew the beginning by heart, and it wasn't looking like I would go on remembering it for the rest of my life.
Key accepted.
You have been released from mind control. You may control your avatar once more.
Uh-huh. Considering that my energy is gone, and the bog water won't do much to revive it,
I'm probably well advised to take a light nap. I wonder what the actual key was. My recitation of the entire poem, or my mentioning of the verses from the ogres in the correct order? I doubt the developers would make knowing Venus and Adonis by heart the solution to the riddle. Although, who knows with those guys? As I was considering all this, I heard Big Eye recite,
"Birthing and nurturing the fire like a virtual mother, the source of danger, evil, doubt, and fear. Your way lies through five warrior giants, the only one who craves a quaff of brackish waters. The giants will tell you more,"
he added, and simply evaporated as if he'd never existed. I looked at my stats bitterly and made my way to the surface. I still had 6 minutes' worth of air. It's a good thing that my energy regenerates rapidly. Only a minute later, I was already up to 70.
"Dan, you have to read the verses in the correct order,"
Anastaria said, diving out of the water. Glancing around herself and instantly grasping the new situation, she asked,
"What did he say? Did you record it?"
"No. He recited some verses like the rest of them, though the other ones recited 8 verses, and he only recited